Welcome to episode 20, The Power of Content Creation.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast with Ranjini Joshua, the only podcast that teaches you how to strategically navigate the world of public relations and social media and grow a powerful brand.
Hello, and welcome to episode 20. Today I'm interviewing Deborah Chen, a capital market strategist whose background has been on Wall Street. She's run two publicly traded companies and recently launched the Great Fail podcast. Hi, Deborah, and thank you for joining me on the PR Playbook podcast. I can talk.
Hey, Ranjini, thanks so much for having me on.
So I'm really excited because we've been covering a lot of different types of topics around content, around media, around branding. And so I really like to bring it full circle by giving people a full outline and overview. So now, more than ever, content has become a pillar of thought leadership for personal and business branding growth all over the world. Right now, when we're at home and digital content and media is on the rise, podcasts are expected to grow more than ever, as we have this PR Playbook podcast and Deborah's podcast, of course, The Great Fail. So we're seeing all kinds of brands do different kinds of mediums and work on different types of content. And that is becoming more apparent now than ever. I know you've worked with a lot of brands, huge brands, small brands, and you yourself have produced content in a variety of mediums. So I think this is a great way to get into this conversation on focusing on the power of content creation and how brands should determine how to leverage that content, when, how, and how to position themselves. And obviously, it's a little bit different as the media landscape changes and as the marketing landscape and retail landscape changes and world news and everything. But I think it's really important to cover this topic so that we can kind of figure out how to position ourselves and all brands individually. Things are shifting really fast right now. So I'd like to start this by asking Deborah here, what have been the three biggest changes that you've seen when it comes to branding and content creation over the past few months?
Sure. And you're absolutely right about that. I don't know if you remember, but you and I actually met when we were on a panel for personal branding. So,
of course.
So it's pretty funny that here we are years later talking about it on your show. But, you know, I think traditionally in the past, because I've been doing this for over 16, 17 years for my clients, which consist of publicly traded companies. Mm-hmm. The traditional form of content has always been in press releases. And over time, it's really progressed over the years to now CEO blogs, more shorter form video content, explainer videos, articles, infographics, and pretty much a lot of other really interesting content that can be shared and go viral. And I think what I'm seeing in terms of how things are changing, I would say that, you know, over the past several, so do you mean by over past several months?
Yeah, just, you know, this year, since, you know, we are going through a bit of a shift in how everybody's working from home and sitting at home. And I think, you know, the expectations for 2020 were a little bit different, maybe at the beginning of the year. But now that we're here where we are today, you know, what do you think is going to be important from the changes that we've seen in the past few months and then moving forward?
Right. So the big C word.
Yeah.
So whether or not we like it or not, we're on this lockdown in this current time. As you know, Ranjini, I launched the podcast during the coronavirus period. And I had hired a well-known PR firm that specialized in podcast marketing. And during that time, they really just pulled the rug from underneath me because they had said that nobody is looking at content these days. Mm-hmm. And unless you're only covering coronavirus or the COVID-19, nobody is really going to be looking at that. And I have found that that was wrong, you know, during this time. And I believe this to be true post-coronavirus, content is changing. And I you know, you say, what are the three changes I would say that the way I'm looking at the way content is now and how it's evolving is that, number one, I think content is becoming easier to create more than ever.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm such a big fan of Trevor Noah. Seeing him in his living room with just a camera, if that's not proof to people that you're no longer competing with these huge productions, this is the time more than ever to really be able to create content, you know?
I think that's a good point, because I think brands especially, and I work with startups, you work with big companies, I think that is a big barrier for them. That's what they think. Oh gosh, I'm going to have to jump into this big production. How much money is it going to cost? What am I going to have to get? Instead of just trying to get started, I think they use that as a, you know, a block.
Right. It's a lot more attainable these days. And I'm also seeing that in terms of content itself, that there's actually a need and a demand for more empathy and more personalized content. Mm-hmm. So something that speaks to people and addresses what's going on, because I think these days there's a lot more similarities than differences between us. Yeah. And that's a really amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the third, people are so much more responsive these days. LinkedIn, I was doing some research on LinkedIn, and they've seen a 55% increase in engagement. So it's been a great time to really think about content and aggregating content or creating it, because people are a lot more responsive. And I personally have seen that happen, you know, as I'm going out and aggregating content and speaking with other thought leaders. Typically the response turnaround would be, I don't know, 5 to 7 days. People are traveling. It takes them, you know, a week to get back, but now they're just hitting respond on the same day. So it's an incredible time.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd like to understand what you think. I mean, this is right now, we're all at home, right? We're not traveling. We're at home. We're working. I think some of us harder than we have before, even despite, you know, there's kids at home, there's all these distractions. And I think people are getting a little bit more drained than they normally would. What about when the gates open up? What about when we go back to, I don't know, quote unquote normal? What do you think will happen? I don't know. In the marketing and PR world, everyone thinks there's going to be like a flurry of people trying to get attention real quickly. You know, what do you think about how, because we don't really know when that's going to be. So how do you think that's going to pan out for the rest of the year?
I think content, you know, the beauty about content right now is that anybody can do it.
Yeah.
But there is so much content. You know, I went to a conference one time and I met this veterinarian who turned politician, and then her job now is coaching other veterinarians on how to get into politics. That's such a niche market, but it just shows that there's so many subsets that are being addressed. There's a lot of great content, but back to what you're saying, there's only a handful of great content. I think post coronavirus, it will still be about that quality. And what I think great content is, what I'm seeing people respond well to, is content that's not self-serving, that's not selling too hard, right? I think that's what will sustain over, you know, great content has longevity. Yeah. And so I think the main elements of what makes great content such is having impactful storytelling. 84% of consumers want the content to tell a story. And it's important to, you know, as you're looking to create or continue to create, is this content that people can relate to, or are you pushing generic run-of-the-mill, you know, articles? And I think that is what's going to sustain over time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about the quality of content. I think we always, you know, as a PR agency, we always try to push that when we produce press releases and things like that. But I think in general, also for thought leadership, for anything, quality is going to rule over anything else. Yeah. I think one of the places that people have problems navigating is the types of content. Now, you and I have decided to like journey into this world of podcasting, which is very different than blogging, which is very different than doing like video webinars. So what do you think is kind of the determining factor for a brand on how they present their content? And then maybe like kind of those sticking factors, because I think one of the things about podcasting is like, you know, you have to get through, you have to keep pushing through and doing the next episode. But I feel like a lot of people, if they don't see a return immediately, they kind of start feeling like, oh gosh, was this worth my time? So how do they pick the right medium and how long do they do that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really great question. I think it's, you know, on a general basis, it's obviously tailored to the specific brands and what they're trying to achieve. I love that you're using your podcast to educate your audience so that whenever you're listening to these short form 15, 20 minute interviews, people are walking away with really great things that they can use. There's like a call to action, right? I'm using my podcast to entertain my audience. So I would say the first thing that brands and people who are subject matter experts should really think about for their medium is, what is your purpose? What is it that you want to do? Do you want to entertain? Do you want to sell? Do you want to teach? And then from there, think about the most effective ways to accomplish that, you know? So, you know, my personal experience is I really wanted to entertain, but really subtly teach. And I thought, using, you know, because I've always been fascinated with podcasts, and I've always been fascinated with true crime, I wanted to marry the two. And this has been a really fun way for me to kind of go out there and do that.
Yeah. And your podcast, The Great Fail, does that really well. It's so entertaining. I love listening to it. It's just, it's funny. And then you like makes you think, and it's kind of, and it's real. So, I mean, there's like that element of having like your own sitcom, but it's like, it's in a podcast format. It's not too long. And it is, like you said, it's entertainment based, but I love that they're real stories about businesses. Cause from, as a business owner, from that perspective, it does make me feel like I'm not wasting my time, right? Like I'm being entertained and then I'm also learning a little something from it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think people respond well to, you know, going back to what you were saying before about, being at the service of others. Mm-hmm. We were talking about what makes great content. I wanted to provide an example because, you know, in thinking about the Great Fail podcast, as I was launching it and talking to people about it, I was going around telling everyone this was a show about train wrecks and corporate executives making poor decisions, you know? Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot of people, they would laugh or they were intrigued. Right. But over time, as I kept talking about it, I noticed that people were much more interested when I would say, well, this is a show where people can garner lessons and wisdom from other people's mistakes. Now they were responding differently. They wanted to listen to it because they didn't want to fall into the bucket of the Great Fail, you know? And so I think when you have content, people resonate much more with it when it's to be of service to them.
Right. No, that's really, really insightful. And actually, I mean, that's one of the things that I wanted to ask you off of this last question of just in podcasting in general. You know, it is an interesting medium. It's different and it's definitely growing. And I think a lot of people are interested in getting into podcasts, people and brands. What are maybe some of the things that you've learned over the last few months of doing this? And yours is a very well-scripted production. What are some of the things that you've learned on getting a podcast started that people probably, maybe three things that people should know before they get into it? Because I think it seems sometimes like, oh, I'm just going to jump into it. But it's, I don't think that's that same case.
Right. Yeah. I was really surprised that number one, podcast is easy. It's easy to kind of get into, but the difficulty of this and in, you know, doing so much research and in the short period of time, attending several conferences, several podcast conferences, I've come to learn that it's not as easy as you think, and it's about consistency. It's about really knowing what it is the message that you want to drive home, and you need to be in it for the long run. I'm meeting podcasters that have been doing it since 2014. That seemed really early at that time, but I would say that what I've learned from this is it's about the long game. It's about being consistent. And if you're looking for people to jump on right away, it's going to take time. And so patience is key there, but you will develop an audience if you're consistent. And that's been part of the journey for me. It's really been a fun journey, and definitely very rewarding.
Yeah. I think we'll make sure to have like a little checklist. Maybe if you are thinking of launching a podcast, we'll have our podcast checklist available in the show notes today. So you guys can go to the website and check that out. But I wanted to kind of change gears a little bit and talk about, you know, everybody has been conferencing. We've been talking about content, how we're presenting content. A lot of people are doing webinars. I know you've attended some really cool webinars. And, you know, from content from that perspective, right now, again, everything right now is being digitally consumed. Everyone's in front of their computer. What do you think about this idea of like conferencing and video and content exhaustion? I've definitely felt more tired some of these days where I have a lot more meetings, or, you know, I want to listen to something, but I just can't get myself to get there. And maybe that's just part of it, could be part of the times and where we're at right now as a planet, I guess. But what do you think, is kind of the best ways to, I guess, deliver content that people can find meaningful without being exhausted?
Yeah, well, it was definitely really exciting for me when we realized how Zoom could facilitate these thought leadership conversations.
Right.
But very quickly after that, it was like, oh my goodness, another one, you know? And I think it's really about being able to create, you know, I would say probably for content creators that want to mix up their stuff a little bit more, you got to really think about what appeals in different audiences. And I think social media does that. I think, you know, Instagram, a lot of people want to see things, right? And LinkedIn, it's the professional side of it. And Twitter is kind of short form of, you know, what is behind the brand. I think that in order to create really consistent visual content, or not just visual, just having a good subset of content, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, really defining what your brand is and having kind of that North Star, you know, what is it that you're trying to tell? And then always coming back and checking off those boxes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sometimes, for instance, when I'm scripting my podcast and I get excited about a story, I'll sidetrack and veer off into something a little bit more different.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to pull myself back and think, okay, is this kind of like what Dateline NBC would do? Because for me, that's kind of my brand. You know, yeah. I want to be like the Dateline for the deaths and murders of great companies. And so I find that when I ask myself that question, I have the answer and I realize this is good to post, or this is not in brand alignment.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think, yeah, for any content, it's important for people to come back to that one vision for the content itself. So maybe that's, you know, something we have to establish right in the beginning before we decide to go off into podcasting or webinars or videos or whatever we end up deciding, wherever we did end up deciding our, where we're going to post. I think that's critical. I mean, that's critical in any branding exercise too, right? You have to figure out what the mission or the vision is going to be.
Right. Exactly. Sometimes yeah. It's the hardest part.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think, but I do think it's worth taking that time to focus in on that, because there is, you know, a point where your customers or, you know, followers or whoever they are going to be like, what are they talking about? Or we can't trust this brand because they're not always talking about the same thing. So if you're not lined up like that, I think it does hurt you in the long run too.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Well, I think overall, the purpose of defining content creation is, you know, getting some kind of efficiency when you're creating the brand. I think giving away nuggets of content is a great idea also, but I think it needs to be useful and specific. So I wanted to ask you this question. I didn't have it in my set of questions that I had, but what do you think about some of these, you know, we have a lot of like marketers and content creators that are giving away free content. And how do you think that works with business development? And I think a lot of people right now are, you know, finding themselves scratching their heads on what am I going to do to get my company going back again when things are going a little bit more normally? Should I be giving things away for free? Should I be charging? Should there be a subscription? Like, do you have any feelings or thoughts on that answer?
Yeah, I think it depends on what types of businesses. I am a big fan of teasers.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important. I'm not a big fan, especially when you're a startup or even, you know, a mid-stage company where people know of you that you're asking to, asking for, you know, for payment on things. I'm always skeptical whenever I come across something like that. What I like to do with my clients is if we're in the business of selling a product, then we use our content as an educational tool, right? Yeah. But if you're a research company, and I work with a research company right now, they are amazing. They provide really good tidbits of information. But if you want the meat of it, then you go on a subscription base, and they have about 10,000 people that subscribe to their financial newsletter. And so I think there's a good mix there. But I love being able to tease people and draw people in. And if you have good content, then you're not afraid to give something away for free.
Right.
You know that it's going to stick.
Yeah. The teaser. That's a good tip. we do typically do a little plug session, and I know you have a really lovely podcast that we've been talking about today. Can you tell us where we can find The Great Fail?
Sure. You can find it on iTunes, Apple iTunes, and wherever you listen to your podcast. And it's called The Great Fail.
Yes, it is an awesome, relatable podcast. I recommend it to anyone on business lessons learned from the great business failures of our time. But what makes it unique is that it marries true crime storytelling on the deaths of these great companies. And it really is, you've got the music, you've got the mood, you've got the voiceovers, and you've got the secret telephone calls. It's pretty dynamic, and it's fun to listen to. So if you need a little break from a conference call or work, or you're taking a walk outside, if you are allowed outside these days, definitely go over to The Great Fail podcast. Is it thegreatfail.com, Deborah?
That's correct.
Okay, thegreatfail.com. And then also in the show notes, you'll find all of Deborah's information so you can contact her if you have any questions about branding, business, podcasts. I'm confident that she can answer your questions there. So as always, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast topics, please email us at podcast@thesilvertelegram.com or visit our website at thesilvertelegram.com. Thank you for listening. Until next time, have a bright day, stay calm, and let's get shit done.